You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
What is Dax, are you?
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all. So we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to the second guest show. Mike to take you along with the Cajun Cannon, Bobby Hebert, live at the Silver Slipper Casino Beachside right here in Hancock County, Mississippi. Come on by and visit us. Bobby J and I will be on until 8 o'clock tonight. It's our last of the 2024-2025 early on season of second guest.
Until we come back for the draft.
We'll do that the Monday after the draft. We'll be here again, but got a little bit of waiting. Certainly a lot of things going to be happening on the Saints scene. I expect sometime this week that Kellen Moore will get announced as the
official. But they're going to announce him, but when he's going to show up for the press conference, are they going to let him do the parade's not until Friday. Are they going to let him participate in the parade in Philly? I know if I was a winning coach, I'd want
to do that.
Yeah, then I'll come after that. Look, because once you come, it's pedal to the metal. So they can give him a few days off right now and enjoy the victory.
And also get things straight. Because he's got young kids.
And the coaching staff and all that.
And Bob, yeah. A little bit of a hint on who might be on his coaching staff. I was watching First Take this morning, and Dan Orlovsky, who's got a connection with Kellen Moore.
Okay.
They were both with the Lions at one time. Basically,
he would know.
His contract was up, and he says, "I'm not going to be back doing TV in the morning."
Oh, so Dan Orlovsky.
So I kind of got a feeling Dan didn't want to let that meow cat out the bag, but you know his connection to Kellen Moore, you know him being a former quarterback, I think that is a connect the dots.
Well, yeah, you can be part of the media, then you get into coaching, and then all of a sudden don't work out. You go back to the media. You can go back and forth. Hopefully, if Dan Orlovsky is in charge of the quarterbacks, that he don't coach the Saints quarterback to run out the back of the end zone and give him a 2-point play. Remember that with the Lions?
I guess he
lost his bearings and he went and he stepped out of bounds.
He was running for his life. He was like Mahomes was yesterday. Again, 40-22. Bob, the score is no indication.
Oh, not in the Mike. You said 40-22. Let me tell you. You know why we should have known better? The Super Bowls overall
have been blowout games.
Okay, exactly. Not as of late. You look, the last two have been highly competitive. It went down to wire. Remember the Ravens and the 49ers. Then you look at the Rams, Patriots and all that.
Did it get any better than 49ers and Chiefs of a year ago?
But yeah, but that wasn't in New Orleans. I'm talking about Super Bowls
in New Orleans.
Gotcha. Okay, now think about this. I don't know if this is a coincidence. I haven't heard anyone talk about this post-Super Bowl. You know how everybody talks about everything. Mahomes was wet in the bed and all that. Just so you go on and on. This is unbelievable. Do you know, as great as our Super Bowl history has been, now we tied Miami 11 Super Bowls. So that's a big enough sample size. And we haven't been blessed with many competitive games here.
No,
the last two, yes. But overall, so 9 out of 11. Okay, now think about this. The average margin of victory in the previous 10 New Orleans Super Bowls is 18 points. In fact, the two biggest blowouts in Super Bowl history happened when the 49ers beat the Broncos 55-10. The Bears beat the Patriots 46-10. Again, the average margin of victory, 18 points. What was the margin of victory yesterday?
18 points.
Hey, what? I'm like thinking, coincidence? I don't know. But think about that. The average margin of victory, the Super Bowl in yards been 18 points. It was exactly 18 points. Now,
Really, the score was no indication.
It was even worse than that.
It was much worse.
It was worse than that. But I thought that was interesting that, you know, we love having the Super Bowl. We do. We are great hosts.
I think New Orleans really was every bit the winner that the Eagles were.
Oh, without a doubt. It was like, the Chiefs are the third banana. It was like the Eagles, obviously, whenever you win a championship.
You're number one.
And then the whole city. And then the Chiefs, not so fast. Three-peat, well, what are you talking about? Right now, the one thing Mahomes got for him, I know he ain't the damn GOAT. That doesn't mean he can't beat a GOAT because he's young. But look at Tom Brady, how many times the years he had until he won another Super Bowl. Mike, was it nine?
That was a good gap.
9 years, something like almost a decade?
He actually talked about that on the pregame was that, okay, win a couple, then you win a third. And he was like,
it's a lot easier than I thought.
And then it was not so fast. You know, I didn't take into consideration just how hard it was to get there. And a lot of people are, the Saints should have been to two or three Super Bowls with Sean Payton.
It's hard.
You should have been, I think, it certainly got robbed on that Nola no call.
Oh, no, without a doubt.
That one there. The 2011, losing that game. It's a San Francisco in that wild affair out on the coast. That still burns me because I really think that you were the better team. Now, that day, the 49ers won. You got to give them credit. They made the plays late when they had to with Alex Smith and certainly Vernon Davis. But, man, it is so hard, Bob, to get to that. And to think about that, your buddy, Vic Fangio, those years in the NFL – finally gets a Super Bowl title.
And, you know, when you look at Vic and Saints fans who that nation will recognize this, I'm telling you, Ricky Jackson is in the NFL or Pro Football Hall of Fame, and the NFL Defensive Player of the Year was Pat Swill, and guess who was coaching him? Vic Fangio. Now, Coach Sewell's defensive coordinator, he was working more with Sam Mills and Von Johnson, but Vic was working with Pat Swilling and Ricky Jackson. And, Mike, you look at him, you got to just be tough. You got to handle adversity, weather the storm. And you look what he did. Boy, look at the coincidence, the New Orleans connection, the Philly connection. That's where he started, you know, old Philadelphia Stars USFL. But you look, and he was in the title game, you remember, in New Orleans.
Yep.
You know, that's where it all started. But, you know, he was in a failed attempt. He was the defensive coordinator for the 49ers. And they gave a lot of points against the Ravens. So you just got to hang. He gave up 34 points to the Ravens, but not so much against the Chiefs.
He basically got run out of Miami a year ago. Think of that.
Yeah, but the Dolphins are a woke team. the Dolphins, come on. You know why one thing I heard? I'm going to tell you, this is behind the scenes. You know why Vic got run out of Miami? Because he was too hard on the players. What? Too hard on the
I believe that.
Yes.
I really believe that.
Brian Flores. Brian Flores, Vic Fangio. They're too hard on the young players. You got to be freaking kidding me. The Eagles don't take that approach. Look how those players embrace Vic Fangio.
We talked with Sal Palantonio Saturday, and what was his comment that he told the defensive lineman? Every one of y'all are too damn fat. You better lose weight because you ain't coming off the field.
Right. You're not going to be playing like 40%. You might be playing 80%.
And he pointed that finger basically toward Jalen Carter and also Jordan Davis. And listen, when them cats get on the scale, you know the first number is a 3. Now, you guess where the second number is. It could be anywhere from 3 to 6 on the second number. But you saw the dominance up front. Bob, they didn't blitz.
They didn't have to. You know what they were doing?
Okay,
I'm going to explain this to the audience. I know, Vic, what they're doing. They get disguised and play cover 4 like cover 2.
Yep.
Okay, now think about it. Cover 4 is quarters coverage. It's like almost like an umbrella. You see the cornerbacks, you see the safeties. But it's very easy to kick down where the corners are squatting, and then it's covered too deep. What I mean by quarters, they got the corner, the safety, and the corner. They all have quarter coverage. And so one time I saw Mahomes. He thought it was quarters coverage, but it was cover two. And he went to throw like the quick out or the hitch route and the cornerback squatting. He knew he'd have threw another pick six. So he kind of looked there that way, and he went off to run. But the Eagles' D-line, they were right there and giving him the business. They were giving him the business.
Bob, lucky he's got some mobility. You think it was bad if he didn't have no mobility yesterday?
No, because he wasn't a statue.
It would have been double the amount of
sacks. He wasn't a statue back there. But to me, Mahomes at times is looking at the rush. And here's what, arguably one of the greatest quarterbacks ever. No, he's not Tom Brady.
They made him mere mortal yesterday.
No, he was a human being. He definitely looked very human. Mike, to show you how human he was, Mahomes' first half passer rating was 10.7. 10.7. The worst of any NFL half he's ever played. So he was in virgin territory. He has never played that poorly. So 10.7 passer rating. And then the running game, to me, this way you got to help out the quarterback.
Zero.
This way you got to help the quarterback. The running game just totaled 49 yards for the Chiefs.
How many?
They didn't run the ball enough.
How many
the running
attempts?
Backs ran seven times. They had 11 total rushing attempts for 49 yards. That's why I knew the Chiefs were coming back. The Eagles ran the ball 45 times. It ain't going to be no damn Patriots-Falcons. I was watching, if you look at Jalen Hurts, he's waiting till that clock's going 2-1 and snapping it. And, you know, in the second half, even if all of a sudden Mahomes gets hot and the Chiefs get hot, they're not going to have enough time. They're not going to have time to come back. That's why.
Even all that halftime stuff about 28-3 and all, come on, the way that game was shaping up, that wasn't happening.
And you know what? The Chiefs took the approach. Saquon Barkley's not going to run against us. He averaged over 2 yards a carry. That's nothing. He had 57 yards rushing, Mike, but they end up having 135 as a team. You got to count Jalen Hurts. Jalen Hurts back-to-back Super Bowl games, he's had over 70 yards rushing.
Bob, maybe the best two games he's ever played have been on the biggest stage.
Without a doubt.
Now, he lost the first one. But to win this one, maybe his best two games as a quarterback overall.
Yeah, I played
on the
Mahomes.
Biggest stage.
Hey, look at the numbers. Look at that. All of a sudden, look at the last two Super Bowl games. Mahomes against Jalen Hurts. Mahomes can't hold Jalen Hurts' jock. It ain't even close. You know, your stability, knowing how to play the position. Remember the last game when he fumbled that ball and they scooped and scored? That was the negative. But, Mike, when you look other than that, and I keep saying this, that if you look at Jalen Hurts at 374 total yards from scrimmage when they lost 38-35, Mahomes had 226. It ain't even close. And you look at this game, it wasn't close.
Yeah.
And then you look at the Eagles. They had the ball 14 minutes more than the Chiefs. No, that was an ass whipping. The Chiefs three-peat my ass. That one happening.
It wasn't happening Sunday.
And to show you how the Eagles fans were. I mean, I can remember the Saints are playing the Eagles, and I'm giving the Eagles fans the business.
I sent that video to Steve Geller, who loved it. Bobby's in the press box hollering at the Eagles fans. At first they thought he was part of the group. But then they showed him he was number one, but with a different digit.
Yeah, and then what happened is, like, I was trolling the Eagles fans like the Eagles fans trolled the Chiefs fans. So what ended up happening, remember we got all those takeaways from the Eagles? I still don't know. That's a different Eagles team when we played them compared to where they're at now.
I agree.
But whenever the Saints would do something good, instead of saying who that and all that, I would just go E-A-G-L, Eagles, and all of a sudden they go, who's this? What's wrong with him? Is he drunk or something? He's looking up there. He's like, well, why is he cheering the Eagles? We're not playing well and all that. Then they realize who I was. Then they gave me that one-finger salute.
More than once.
Well, I can tell you what the Eagles fans did against the Chiefs. When they knew they were going to win, they doing the damn tomahawk chop. and it's all these green people.
You could actually hear it from the TV.
And it was the Eagles fans doing that. No, it was a home game for the Eagles.
Yeah.
I can tell you right now, a fan base that travels, the Eagles fans are very similar to me, like Saints. If I look at, like, Eagles fans like Penn State, Ohio State, they know Pennsylvania, like Western Pennsylvania. You can go back to, like, Joe Namath and all that. They love football. We love football. They just Yankees, but it's the same fan base. We love football.
We'll be back with more. Second guest, Mike Dottiglia, along with the Cajun Cannon, Bobby Hebert, live from the Silver Slipper Casino, beachside in Hancock County, Mississippi, right after this break.
Hey, sports fans, it's Mason Crosby.
And Reese Crosby. If you enjoy football, and brotherly banter, be sure to check out Kicking It with the Crosbys.
Here's some stories from my NFL playing days, goofy conversations about everyday life, giving you entertaining lessons on the pitches across the pond, fun, relatable guests, and what it means to live life on purpose.
New episodes drop every Tuesday and Thursday. Be sure to subscribe to Kicking It with the Crosbys on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Back here on the second guest show, Mike Dottiglia along with the Cajun Cannon, Bobby Hebert at the Silver Slipper Casino, beachside in Hancock County, Mississippi. Bob, we talked a little bit about it, but man, you know, I got so much respect for Jalen Hurts as a player and also as a man, because a lot of people, things happen to them and they get scuffed and all they want to do is complain. You saw Jalen Hurts, highly recruited football player coming out of high school. He becomes a starter at Alabama. Then all of a sudden,
he gets benched in a national championship game.
He plays a lousy first half. They pull the plug with him. And, you know, Tua comes in.
Tua can't hold his jock.
Not as a pro.
But
what he did was work his butt off. Goes to Oklahoma. Works with Lincoln Riley. He ends up being, I think, the runner-up for the Heisman Trophy that year.
Mike.
But then questioning if he can be an NFL quarterback. He lasts into the second round, and look what he has done. Man, you know, a lot of people, they sort of feel sorry for themselves. Or it's
not
somebody
Jalen
else's
Hurts.
Fault. No, look at Jalen, how he handles not only failure, but how he's handled success
as
a player.
Adversity. No, he's a pro. And Jalen Hurts, just like how he interviews, he's too cool for school. Jalen Hurts is a winner. You know what? Are you a winner loser is the right word, but are you a winner and how you handle adversity? When you look at Jalen Hurts, okay, he looked at the last time when they lost at the last second field goal to the Chiefs, 38-35. So he remembers that. So I'm going to build upon this and what it's going to take. Let me tell you what. You play in Philadelphia, and you look at media and all that, the fan base is like New York.
Yep.
You know, they want to run you out of town. Jalen Hurts is a warrior. Talk about a good dude on and off the field. It doesn't get any better than that. Jalen Hurts, now, if you look at it, did he ever pout? Because you know what's crazy? Think about this. This is the Louisiana connection. He hits Devontae with the bomb.
Devontae Smith. From a meet.
And then all of a sudden, Tua throws him the bomb in overtime to beat Georgia in a national championship.
Yeah.
Okay, but he felt sorry for himself? No. I go on to Oklahoma, and I go on, and look where he's at now.
And we had Pete Jenkins on, and Pete talked about, I never coach him. He said, I'm a defensive line
coach.
Yeah. But he said, just being around him, coach his son. His dad was an offensive line coach. And that was the work ethic. Man, you tired. Well, you're going to be tired, similar to what your old coach used to say. You'll be tired when I tell you you're tired.
He was raised right. Both his mom and dad are education coaches and all that. Parents do make a difference and the influence on your life and all how you keep things in perspective. But Mike, when you look at what Jalen Hurts has done, that's what makes America great. When you talk about night, I'm just going to give you something because, he earned it. I'm all about merit, based on merit. Well, Jalen Hurts has earned his position, and you got to acknowledge that. I mean, you might say,
He's still a young cat in his business, too.
Hey, and I'm telling you, that's a hostile territory in Philly. how they booed Santa Claus. They were 2-2 at the beginning of the year. They want to run off the coach. They want to get rid of everybody. Then now they're all on the bandwagon.
No, yeah, sir, Sirianni now is getting all these accolades. I'm gonna tell you, in the first quarter of the season, talk show in Philly was all about
the worst.
He's the guy we not doing better than what we are. It's Sirianni.
No, he's bitching at the fans and all that.
He's getting a fight with players I think a lot of times.
But the players respect him, like Dan Campbell and all that. The players, they want you to confront them and talk about man to man. Don't be a damn wuss.
Because we saw him and A.J. Brown, and then, man, he picks a fight with Jalen Carter. Now, you can pick a fight with a lot of guys, but you don't pick a fight with Jalen Carter on the sidelines. But that, you always use that term, you can't fake the funk.
No, you can't. No, they know if like you're scared. If you're scared, like Ricky Jackson used to say, if you're scared, say you're scared. They know if you're scared or not. That's why, Mike, they know if you're faking the funk or not. Because it's day in and day out. They know where you're coming from. And can you handle that? Because a lot of responsibility. Come on, you're the damn quarterback of an NFL team. You're the head coach of an NFL team.
You talk about two different personalities, Jalen Hurts and Nick Sirianni. Two totally different personalities.
Oh, Mike, who's a prima donna personality you have to deal with? He's reading a damn book on the sideline.
A.J. Brown.
Okay, you look at A.J. Brown, his contribution. Now, he scored a touchdown and all that.
He played big yesterday.
No, but Mike.
He did play big yesterday.
But it wasn't so unbelievable. What did he end up catching, A.J. Brown? He probably had like three or four catches.
A.J. Brown had three catches, 43 yards,
but he could
one touchdown.
Yeah.
14 yards a catch. But Devontae Smith continues that role. Now, this is four games he's played against the Chiefs. He's caught 24 passes against them.
Hey, the weapons. That's why football, that's what I love. It is truly a team sport. And how do you use your weapons and take advantage of what the defense is trying to do?
One of the things
we
talked about, certainly Jalen Carter and Jordan Davis. But, man, Milton Williams from Crowley High School in Texas, a lightly recruited. He was an undersized defensive end. He was tall, but he was a skinny guy. Goes to Louisiana Tech. Ends up being a third-round pick. Bob, yesterday, four tackles, two sacks, and a forced fumble for Milton Williams. And guess what?
You're like Aaron Donald.
He's in the final year of his contract.
Oh.
So Milton be able to cash in. But this was a guy, when he came out of high school, he was either a two kind of star guy or maybe a three. He wasn't a highly recruited guy. Tall, lanky guy. I remember him at Tech.
Late bloomer.
And he filled in. And look the impact he had yesterday. He was in the backfield as much as Pacheco was yesterday for the Chiefs.
Well, Mike, to show you now, listen, I want it to be entertained. If it's a three-peat, it's a three-peat. I liked the last game when they played in Glendale, Arizona. I wanted it to go down to the wire. But you can't force it. You got to go compete in what's going to happen. You know what I knew? The Chiefs were really in trouble. Mike, by the first time had come to a close, okay, it's like in the first half, the Chiefs had managed one first down.
What?
Now think about it. This is Pat Mahomes, and all they're trying to say, he's going to be the greatest of all time to surpass the GOAT, to surpass Tom Brady. He had one first down. They had 23 net yards, and he had already thrown two interceptions. Now, it just shows you the human element.
That we can cut this a lot of different ways, but you know the old school deal of winning up front, offensive, defensive line, is still intact today, and it will have an impact on what you saw is going to have an impact free agency in the draft.
Mike, I brought my binoculars to the game. And I said, I don't know where to have a sitting in the dome, you know, the media, the auxiliary media and all that. So I said, I'm going to see who's winning up front. Man, I tell you, I get humbled. The Chiefs offensive line.
They got humbled.
Because the left tackle, they're making him play left tackle, but he's really a left guard, Tooney.
He's a really good left guard.
Yeah, but, Mike,
outside on the edge, he got
and, you know, they were just freaking running over him, just bull rushing him. And that's because of Vic. You know, they're watching film in that film room. I've been there. They go, this is what you got to do against this cat. You know, he's athletic and all that. Just freaking run over his ass. Freaking power. Use power and just throw him into Mahomes. Throw him into the quarterback. And, Mike, that's what happened.
Like you always used to tell me about, Mike, you know, for some teams it was like, okay, 0-1, 0-2, 0-3, then I can throw it. Yesterday reminded me of the game you told me about against the Bills. You get the snap, and it was one, and bang.
No,
it wasn't even a one,
Mike,
and a half.
No, you have your mind like 1,001. Okay, it's a second. 1,001, a second and a half. Like Bruce Spinell, they were coming. And all of a sudden, I'm ready to get rid of the ball, but ain't nobody freaking open. And I can't run around like Michael Vick or Lamar Jackson all
or
that.
Mahomes.
I'm going to stand in the pocket and make the throw. So if y'all get open, I can do that. But then all of a sudden, it's time to throw. And then that's when you know football's not fun. And then it's like it's just a damn job. You're just trying to freaking hang in there and make the best of it.
I'll call Smith. Hang in there, Bobby.
No, and I'm looking at Carl, man. We got to do something else. One time I told Carl Smith, we got to do something else. But what? Like, I remember the Eagles. We were awesome in the first half. Then the second half, Reggie White and I was rushing. And I'm doing the same thing. I didn't forget how to play. And all of a sudden, them plays he's calling ain't working. And you know what he tells me? Just keep fighting. Keep fighting. I go, what the hell you think I'm doing? I'm fighting my ass off. I mean, I'm fighting.
This ain't the baseball field, Carl.
Yeah. Keep fighting. I'm like, what? I'm like, okay, I like that strategy. Keep fighting. I'm getting the crap beat out of it. I'm like, keep fighting. Okay, come on.
We'll be back with more Second Guess right after this break here on the Big 870 WWL. Back here on the Second Guess Show, Mike Dettelia along with the Cajun Cannon, Bobby Hebert, at the Silver Slipper Casino Beachside in Hancock County, Mississippi. Let's go to our Oakland Hard Jewelers Talk and Text line. We've got Longshoreman hanging on. Longshoreman in the huddle with Bobby and Mike.
Hey, Bobby and Mike, man. Thank y'all for taking my call. And Mr. Charlie Long also there on the back of the scene there. Bobby, Mike, I got to tell y'all something. That's an experience I wish that every football fan could have happen in their lifetime to go to a Super Bowl, man.
So you had the game yesterday, Longshoreman?
Yes, sir.
Oh, awesome. So you seen the atmosphere. It's different than a regular game. You'd have to admit that.
It's different. It's the intensity, the electricity of it, just, I don't know, all the way around the board. It's just, I love hearing that story, and I've heard it from years ago when it happened, when you were kind of taunting the Eagles fan. But let me tell you something, Bobby. Hey, look, you know how I am. I make a lot of friends around me pretty quick and get to talking and cutting up with people. Man, by that third or fourth touchdown, I almost had that Eagles chant down, and I was chanting with them.
Yeah, you get it involved in the atmosphere. Yeah,
but then I had my Drew Brees jersey on, so I let them. You know, I said, y'all got to let me do a little hoot out every now and then, so we got that going on. But hey, Bobby, I want to ask you a question.
Okay.
You said you were watching with the binoculars, and I want to ask this. I hope it ain't a stupid question. I want to know what was the type of communication between number 77, the right guard for Philadelphia, and the center. Almost 9 times out of 10, before that center would snap that ball, he would give him a little tap on the back. And I don't know if it was something to know, let know he's helping him.
Yeah.
Trying to help him out.
Trying to help him out. Like the crowd noise. I think that would be more. To me, it was the Eagles' home game. It was not a Chiefs' home game. So I don't know. No, and you practice that because you don't know what it's going to be like, the crowd atmosphere. Let's say the Chiefs get off to a great start, and maybe the Chiefs fans are loud. But to me, it was just more Eagles crowd. And that's like treating the Super Bowl like whether, in theory, you'd both be road teams because of the crowd noise. And you never know what's going to happen, and you don't want to jump off sides. And just to help out the center in the quarterback, and then all of a sudden when you see that whole hand thing going the right guard to the center and just letting them know, you're ready for the snap.
And the other thing, too, is Mekhi Becton, who was an absolute bust with the Jets
as a tackle
and never played guard before. The one tendency is he's a little slow to get out of his stance. So that little tap is telling him, hey, the snap is coming. But that is something that they have kind of perfected throughout the year. It's just a little tip off to Becton, knowing that, you know, he's because the way he's built, it's hard for him to get out of that stance.
He's a giant. He's a giant. I don't know if y'all saw this. I might have saw this on the replay or highlight. When A.J. Brown scored a touchdown, he went up to him. Wasn't it like he was crying to me?
Yep.
Here's a giant of a man. You go say, man, why are you crying? You ain't gonna tell. He might punch you in the face or something.
Because a year ago,
because he knows he went from the outhouse to the penthouse.
He was told, "Hey, you're not good enough to play for the Jets."
Yeah.
Now he's starting.
Now he's a Super Bowl champ.
World champion, Philadelphia.
And he's not just
team.
On the team; he's starting.
That goes to show.
No, again,
coaching does matter.
Coaching, you got to handle adversity.
Yep.
That you can't give up just because somebody don't like you. You might work out somewhere else.
Hey, Bobby and Mike, if I would have told y'all last week that Philadelphia was going to be leading Kansas City in the Super Bowl 24-0 and a half, what would you have told me?
I'd have said no.
I'd have said, you smoking crack or something? Like, what's up? What's up, Long Trouble? What are you smoking?
You tipped the bottle a little bit too many times.
I was like, no. I said, no. I thought the Eagles would win just because they had a better team. Like
but
I don't
not
know.
Like that.
No, I picked 27-23. Now, I wanted it to be a close game. I didn't care who won. But I didn't think it'd be an ass whipping. Yep.
Yeah, halfway through the third quarter, I was looking around the Chiefs fans. Some of them were falling asleep in their seats, or they were just passing out from alcohol. I don't know which one. Sadness and whatever you want to call it, grieving. They knew that this ass whipping, it's all but over with.
Well, you know what? Again, you look in the trenches, who was winning those battles, and I always say this, the worst thing as a quarterback, I don't care if it's a regular season, it could be a damn preseason game. It could be a regular season game. It could be playoffs. It could be the Super Bowl. And you're competing against one another. You know, like when the Saints, like when they, you know, in training camp, when you're practicing against the Texans or the Chargers, whatever, and then you go live, they're not going to hit the quarterback, but you still got to make quick and rational decisions. The worst thing for a quarterback is when all of a sudden they're only rushing four people and it feels like a damn blitz.
And that was every snap.
Because all of a sudden they got seven. And then even when they're doing a three-man rush, you got seven or eight in coverage and you got to try to throw it through all the branches. Ooh, that's when you make a lot of mistakes. Where a lot of times, if you know what you're doing, the ball, how to attack a defense, you almost hope. Like Spags with blitz because I know how to attack it. But then all of a sudden, if you Pat Mahomes, damn, it feels like a blitz, and they ain't really blitzing me. Then you start freaking out.
And you got to see it yesterday. Yeah. Even from one of the greatest
Pat
to play
Mahomes,
the game.
Come on.
One of the greatest.
Pat Mahomes trying to surpass Tom Brady, and not so good. Now, I don't know. What do y'all think? Tom Brady, was he kind of shaky as an announcer? I'm at the game, I don't know, as an announcer.
I think some of his moments were shaky yesterday, to say the least.
It just goes to show you, just because you know world's greatest quarterback ever, that don't mean you could call a game.
And, you know, again, this is his first sort of rodeo into that number one
spot.
No,
he's going to work at it.
And you get scrutinized. I know one thing. He's a hard-ass worker.
No, he's going to work at it to get better. And Fox has, I know...
a lot of money invested in.
Like $380 million. Wouldn't you like somebody to give you $300-something million and that hope you get better at what you're doing?
Thank you so much for the call, Long Showman. We appreciate it. We'll be back with more Second Guess right after this break here on the Big 870 WWL. We're finishing up here in hour number one of Sports Talk here on the Big 870, our final version of Second Guess at the Silver Slipper Casino Beachside in Hancock County, Mississippi. A little bit later on in the broadcast, we'll have on with us old friend of both Bobby's and I, John Kincaid. John was in Atlanta for so many years.
Yep,
you also
from
heard
Philly.
He did early morning in CBS Radio nationally for years. And he's a Philly guy, and now he's back in Philly doing talk show radio. So we'll have a good time with John. And also Scott Shanley will be on with us at 7:20, talk about Saints and kind of where they go next. Bob, I do think, though, everything's all kind of set up now. Unless something would really happen dramatically. Kellen Moore's in, and I thought
What would dramatically happen? He would turn down the job.
Man, there's no way.
No, yeah.
Or
yeah.
That kind of thing.
No, now, did you think the Saints, because they would let Everton enjoy the moment?
I think that's what it's all about.
I don't know. I'd want to be part of the parade. Sean Payton,
I would want to do
like
that.
Like on Friday, and then, you know, we'll just get this going early next week.
Man, is anybody a bigger ambassador of New Orleans than Sean?
Right.
Man, if I'm in Denver, I'm like, wait a minute, where are you coaching?
You know, it'd be interesting to see if Kellen Morris had a conversation with Sean Payton.
I bet he has.
About the experience and what to look forward to coming to the Big Easy. Because, you know, coach the Saints.
Man, everywhere you turned on a TV or you turned around, Sean Payton was there representing
because he loves
New Orleans.
Even though he's in Denver and, you know, he got houses all over.
He got houses, condos.
No, but once you come to New Orleans, you can't forget. Come on. We're the most European city, and I'm not just taking it from New Orleans. I've been all over Michigan, California, all over. New Orleans is the coolest city in the United States. I don't know. I like Europe. It's like Europe.